We're going to look at the book of 2 Peter, and hopefully we're going to get through the book of 2 Peter. I broke it down into six different messages, so we're going to go through a portion of 2 Peter each week, just to kind of give you guys an idea of where we're going to be headed. There's three themes to 2 Peter. It starts off, really the subject through that entire book is victorious Christian life, how we can have a victorious Christian life. And there's three specific portions of 2 Peter. The first one is resting on the believer's foundation. The second one is recognizing the false teacher's front. And the third one is reifying God's faithfulness. And we'll get into all those more deeper. But we're going to look at those three things through the next 6 weeks. And I'm just glad to have this opportunity to share with you guys. And hopefully you guys maybe can share some things with me as well as we go through this. But I was thinking about tonight, and as we start with 2 Peter, just looking at some of the context around it, the message that we're going to really look at that 2 Peter is starting off with is growth in Christ. We're going to be looking at how we as believers can be growing in Christ. I grew up in a family where my mom loved to garden. She had a green thumb naturally, and she was just really talented at it. I remember having overabundant supply of tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, raspberries, strawberries, all sorts of things. It was great living in Iowa where there was things that actually grew. maybe that's too soon. But I was thinking about that and how things do grow and the necessities for growth. And so I was thinking about plants. That was the first thing that came to my mind. And so I've got a pot to put a plant in. I actually found a seed. It's tiny, so bear with me. I found a seed, so I'm going to put that in there. And I was thinking about all the other things that go into having some kind of something grow. And so I've got this little cup of stuff that makes the dirt better, so I decided we'll throw that in there real quick too. And then, of course, every plant needs water. So we got water in here. And so, yeah, I've got everything that, pretty much everything that I need for a plant to grow, besides for the dirt. So I've got this awesome little, sorry about that. I've got this pot that has almost everything it needs to grow. And I was thinking about in that correlation to our lives as believers is that we have we have certain things that we need in our lives to grow. And if we don't have the right combination of things, and if we don't have the correct things being put into our life, we might have some of them, but if we don't have all of them, we're just going to wind up with like a pot that has fertilizer and water and no dirt. We need all of these things to be able to grow as Christians. And so tonight I just want to look at four fertilizers that we receive from 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1 through 11 specifically, but we're going to look at four fertilizers in the first 11 verses of 2 Peter. Before we even get into the text, just some background. The first fertilizer that we're going to see is the epistle of Peter itself. The first blank, if you got one of those pieces of paper, is the epistle of Peter itself. Just the fact that God's word is effective. God's word does change our life. And that's the first fertilizer. If we really want to grow in our relationship with Christ, we're going to have the epistle of Peter specifically being changing our lives. Verse 1 tells us in chapter 1 of 2 Peter that Simon Peter, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, an apostle of Jesus Christ, is the one that's writing it. So we know that it's the apostle Peter that spent almost 3 years of his life with Jesus. And it's cool to kind of go through 2 Peter as we go through it, just to see the change from Peter's life in the Gospels, the rash kind of crazy guy that said everything that was on his mind, just the change and radical transformation that we see now in 2 Peter. Who he's writing to is a group of churches that are in Asia Minor. It's the same group of people that he wrote to in 1 Peter. And in 2 Peter, we know that in chapter 3, it mentions that this is another letter. So we see here that this book is specifically kind of a follow-up letter to 1 Peter. The when is a little bit iffy for when it was written, but it's going to be somewhere between 64 AD and 68 AD. 68 is when he died. 64 is when he wrote 1 Peter. So in those 4 years, right around there, is when Peter wrote the epistle. And the reason that he had for writing the epistle was, as we kind of mentioned before, is victorious Christian life. He wants every believer to have a victorious Christian life. It was kind of interesting kind of looking at the difference between 1 and 2 Peter, because 1 Peter kind of deals with the persecution of the church, the things that were happening to the church from the outside, and that we do have a hope of eternity and a hope of heaven. 2 Peter more deals with the true knowledge that we have, because at this point there's a lot of false teachers that are coming in. There's a lot of people that are starting to bring in other truths, or not other truths, other heresies that are destroying the church from the inside. 1 Peter also had more of a compassionate tone. It was more of a, hey, we're going through hard times, so stick with it, you can do it. 2 Peter is more of a, okay, guys, we gotta be careful about this. We can't get sucked in to the false teachers. And it's also kind of interesting because since it is so close to 2 Peter, or yes, to Peter's death, it's almost like a will. It's almost like a testimony of my life has been all about this. I'm about to die. Here's what's going to happen. So it's kind of a different book, but I'm really excited to go through it with you guys, because of just the fact that there are a lot of teachings in the world today. There's a lot of stuff that gets thrown at us, and how, as believers, how do we respond to that? How are we going to react to the false teaching that we get confronted with almost on a daily basis? But I just wanted to start off with that kind of a background of 2 Peter and what it's all about, and just really even in a somewhat of an application of this, is that because it is in the Bible, and if we really do want to grow in our relationship with Christ, the first fertilizer is going to be the Bible itself, and we need to be able to read it, and we need to be able to understand it. So that's kind of the preliminary stuff, and I'm really excited to look at this with you guys. And as I'm going through this, if you guys have questions or whatever, cut me off or do whatever you need to do, because I really want to be able to go through this and be able to understand it with you guys as well. So that's the first fertilizer, is the Epistle of Peter. The second fertilizer that we're going to start off with is found in the first four verses of the book. So read along with me. It's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." The second fertilizer that we see in 2 Peter is God's provision. If we want to grow as believers in Christ, we have to recognize that that God has provided us with something great. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about us as guys and our responsibility to provide for our wives. It was kind of a daunting idea, because I was thinking of Emery and my relationship with her, and once we get married, my responsibility is going to be providing for her. And I have, at this point, I'm having a hard time figuring out how that's going to work. But as I was thinking about that, bear with me, wives, but what would happen if, when your husband came home from work, and instead of bringing home a salary or bringing home a paycheck, what if he paid or brought home, because his employer, instead of giving him money, gave him an Xbox, or gave him a boat, or gave him a motorcycle, or gave him that great toy that you've always been wanting? Because, I mean, he's giving you something for what you've done, but he's providing you with your wants and not your needs. Because I was thinking that Emery is not going to put up with that for very long, because we're not going to survive for very long, first of all, if I just keep getting my wants. And we'll see through 2 Peter, this first part of 2 Peter, is that God knows exactly what we need. He doesn't just give us our wants. He doesn't just give us our happiness. And our lives really aren't built on that. But they're built on the foundation and the provision that God gives us. So going through this, there's a couple of things that I noticed in the first four verses that God provides for us. The first thing is found in verse 1. It's a faith by the righteousness of. So he really provides us with salvation. Our faith gives us this salvation. As we see in verse 1, it says, "To those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of God and Savior, Jesus Christ." It's cool kind of going through this as well. Just as a side note, in the last part of verse 1, it says, "By the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." That's exciting to me, because looking at that, it's not just Jesus our Savior, but it's Jesus our God. It's showing his position that he is God. And when we trust in God, and when we trust in Christ, he puts us all on the same level. I was thinking about this in Sunday school as well, going through some of the stuff with the Catholic Church, just the fact that we aren't on different levels. We aren't some closer to God than others. But once we have accepted Christ, we all have the same opportunity to grow. We all have the same opportunity for an abundant and an intimate relationship with God, which is so cool. Going down to verse 3, we also see that God has provided us with everything pertaining to life and godliness. It says, "Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us." What we need in this life, what we've been provided for, isn't in happiness. It's not provided in the bank account that we have or the things that we have, but it's provided in the person of Jesus Christ. It comes back to our relationship with him. And there's a lot of promises that we get in this world, but once we get to the bottom of them, if they're not centered in Christ, it really still leaves us empty. It leaves us still searching for something better. And as we look through 2 Peter, we should take the time and effort to look at what God has provided us with. Because, like I said before, it's not just our wants. He's providing us with the needs that we need for this life and a relationship with him. And then the last thing that I noticed, as far as something that God provides us with, is the precious and magnificent promises we see in verse 4. Verse 4 says, "For by these he has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature." And this is just amazing to me, because of who Jesus is, he's able to give us an awesome promise. He's able to give us the ability to partake in the divine nature. We are able to see the provision from God through his precious and magnificent promises in the person of Jesus Christ. It's just an amazing thing that he's giving us exactly what we need. He's providing exactly what we need for our lives. The word promises has the idea of a very special gift, meaning that God is giving us the ability to, as it says in verse 4, to partake, or in the NIV it says participate of the divine nature. And I think this means a couple of things. If he's giving us the promise to partake in the divine nature, I think it first of all means that we can have security in how we live right now, that we are going to be in heaven. That when we have the solid foundation that we're gonna, that if we trust in Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, we have the security of knowing that we're going to go to heaven. But more in the immediate context of this passage, I believe it's also talking about that we have the promise of freedom to live outside the bondage of sin now. In Galatians 5:16, look at that with me if you would. In Galatians 5:16, just a little bit to the left. Galatians 5:16 says, But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And I think that this thought is really what Peter's trying to get at, is the fact that because we're saved and because we have freedom from sin, part of what God provides us with is that we don't have to live under the penalty. We don't have to live under the bondage of sin. We don't have to do that anymore. But we have the freedom that as we yield to the Spirit and as we read His Word and obey it, that now we can start to live our lives for Christ. And then we can start to grow. And that's such a cool part of this fertilizer, is that God is the one that starts to grow us. It's not us, but He's the one that does it. And I was thinking about this. As we read our Bibles, I think that it's important for us to, as we read our Bibles, to realize how much God has provided us with and how intentional God is about building a relationship with us. That it's not just us seeking God, but God is intentionally seeking us as well. So, we've got the Epistle of Peter is the first fertilizer. God's provision is the second fertilizer. And the third fertilizer is kind of built on the second fertilizer, and it's the fertilizer of our practice. That it's not just God's provision, but it's also our practice and how we live our lives. In the 1960s, one of the most popular basketball players was Pistol Pete Maravich. He was one of my favorite basketball players, partly because he was white and so I could relate to him. But he is considered one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And I was doing some research on him, and he was known to have a basketball in his hands like almost 24/7. He would sleep with a basketball. He would practice basketball 8 hours a day at times, and he was just so intentional about practicing and focused on basketball. And growing up playing basketball and in high school playing basketball, my coach would always tell us that practice doesn't make perfect. It doesn't make perfect, but practice makes permanent. And on top of that, perfect practice makes perfect. And so that was kind of the idea that I was nailed into my mind, is that it's not just about practice, but it's about what kind of practice we do. Because really, Pistol Pete, if he would have practiced cooking instead, we wouldn't have known him for the basketball player that he is today. We would have known him maybe for nothing. But his intentional practice about basketball made him kind of the icon or whatever in our minds today. And that's the same way in our Christian life, is it's not just about doing random things, but we have to be intentional about our practice. And so Peter gives us a list starting in verse 5 of specific things that we need to have in our lives, certain virtues that we need to have in our lives, and we need to be practicing those virtues. So really, I just want to go through this list of about 6 different virtues that he lists here. And starting in verse 5, it says, "Now, for this reason, applying all diligence in your faith." Faith is, again, the foundation for where we're going. Faith is what we need to have for any of the other virtues to work. For any growth to happen in our lives, we have to have faith. We have to put our trust in what Christ did for us on the cross. We need to be saved. And then we also have to have faith as we move forward in our Christian life as well. So that everything is based on that foundation. And the second one that we see here is in the NAS, it says moral excellence. Moral excellence. The word excellence just simply means is the proper fulfillment of. So I was thinking about this, like a knife's excellence is to cut, or soap's excellence is to wash, or clock's excellence is to tell time. Just that kind of an idea. And so if our excellence, what is our excellence? Our excellence is the proper fulfillment of man is to reflect Christ. Our proper fulfillment is to live today more like Christ than I lived yesterday. I have to be growing. That's really my moral excellence. So after faith, I need to be starting to grow. And the third virtue that we see in this kind of like a ladder of virtues is knowledge. It says in verse 6, knowledge. This has really little to do with intellectual knowledge. It's not how well you do at math or grammar or whatever, but it deals with spiritual knowledge directly related to the person and God's word itself. So as we grow in our knowledge, we're going to be growing closer to God as well. The next thing is self-control. And it's cool because we will later get into some of the false teachings and some of the things that is combating the church. But it's a sharp contradiction to how these false teachers will live their lives. We'll see later how they just pretty much satisfy their flesh. They just satisfy whatever they feel is good for them. But Peter is making it a point for us that we need to live our lives differently than the rest of the world, that we need to be having self-control in our life. The fourth one is perseverance. The fifth one is perseverance. Or patience, depending on your translation. And this has the idea of going through difficult times or trials for the sake of honor. There's a purpose there's a light at the end of the tunnel for what we're going through. It's not just about getting through today, but we have the purpose of getting to somewhere. And specifically, when we're going through a hard time, it's an awesome opportunity for us to reflect who Christ is. It's an awesome opportunity to even protect God's reputation from those that would seek to defame God. The next one that is built upon here is godliness. And godliness is having a healthy fear or reverence of God. Almost as if like every action or every word spoke or every thought is directly in the presence of God. That's how we should live our life. Because in all honesty, God sees what we do. God hears what we speak. And so everything that we do needs to kind of have in the back of our mind or in the front of our mind the idea that we are really speaking this or we're acting in front of God. So that's godliness. And then brotherly kindness, actively doing good to others. As we are growing ourselves, we should also reflect that in how we act and how we speak towards the others. And I was thinking about that in a church setting because as we get together on Sunday, I mean, there's so many different personalities. There's so many different likes and dislikes. There's a big chance that we could not get along. But Peter's making the point to say, hey, we need to get along. We need to have that brotherly and family love going on. And then the last one is love. And it kind of almost comes to an umbrella over the other ones. Is love is just the sacrificial sacrificial, willing to do anything for a brother, willing to do anything for anyone, whether it's a lovely person or whether it's an unlovely person, we're supposed to be sacrificing ourselves for the sake of another person. And in the next couple of verses, in verse 8 and 9, it kind of brings us to a fork in the road. It kind of brings us to a choice that we have. Let's go ahead and read that. It says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. We really see two ways we can take this. Is we can either, yeah, I need to be growing in my relationship with God and I need to be moving closer towards him. Or we can take it and say, you know what, I'm saved, I'm content with that, and I'm just going to live my life for myself. And we've got this choice in front of us, but it's kind of a convicting thing to think that if we do choose to grow, God wants to use us. God wants to use us in awesome ways. But if we choose not to be used, if we choose not to grow, we're going to be the one that misses out. It's not God that's all of a sudden saying, okay, it's not God who's going to make that call for us. We have the choice whether to follow him or not. But it also says in verse 9, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification. And it's just really, it was convicting to me to read that, to think, you know, there are things that I do that are just like, I almost forget what God has done for me. I forget the awesome sacrifice that he made for me. And looking at this list, I think one thing that we can do is look at this and say, okay, there's something on this list maybe that I struggle with. There's something that I could be doing better at. And so instead of just being like, well, you know, I could be doing better, I could talk to somebody or whatever, like take some time after this or take some time even now to just talk to God and bring it before him and say, okay, I know I should be doing better at this. I know I need to be doing better, but help me with that. Grow me in that area. And then the last virtue we're going to look at, we're going to look at the virtue in the last two verses of 2 Peter. The last fertilizer is our perseverance. We've seen the Epistle of Peter and why it was written and all that, and then we've seen the fertilizer of our practice, or our God's provision, and then our practice, and we're also going to look at the provision, or the fertilizer of our perseverance in verses 10 and 11. There's two things specifically that I want to focus in on in verses 10 and 11, but let's go ahead and read those together. It says, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. The first thing that we have to persevere towards or continually do is to make certain of our choosing and calling. And I don't think that this means that we should be constantly worrying whether or not we're saved. It's not that. But instead, when we start to become more Christ-like and when we start to grow in our thoughts and actions, we actually start to prove our salvation. And we're not proving it to God, because that's no mystery to God. God knows whether we're saved or not. But we're proving our salvation to the people around us. We're proving our salvation to ourselves. When we start to be able to look back, like in our lives, like Ron was talking about in his testimony, when we begin to look back in our lives and say, okay, yeah, I see a change in my life. I see growth. That should be an encouragement to us to say, you know what, God's growing me. I'm growing in my relationship with Christ. And that's super encouraging to me. But I think it's also important to realize that our salvation and how we live now kind of go hand in hand. We first get saved, and then how we live our Christian life after that is built on top of that faith like we talked about before. And then also we're supposed to persevere, as it says, as long as you practice. And it's kind of giving us a promise to look forward to, or something to kind of get us to look forward. It's almost like the idea of the carrot in front of the donkey almost. Just that we're working towards something. In verse 10 it says that for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Which is just a cool promise that Peter ends this with the hope that we are moving forward, and that we don't have some of the struggles that we did at one time in our life, but we are growing in our relationship with God. And then also in verse 11, he ends this section with an awesome picture. I really like how the New King James puts it. If you guys have that, it says that so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. So an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. I think that that's so cool to think that as we persevere and as we grow closer to Christ, that we have the hope and the knowledge that once we die and once we go to heaven, that Jesus is ready and willing to welcome us in with open arms. It's kind of that picture of well done, good and faithful servant, like at its finest, that he gives us that hope that we're persevering now because there's an awesome and great prize at the end. And so looking at these fertilizers and looking at the things that are here to help us grow in our relationship with Christ, what are we going to do with these things? Thinking back to this weird illustration with the pot and the without the dirt, is just that the plant that was missing the dirt is not going to grow. We're missing that. And growth in Christ comes from a full fertilization. It comes from God's Word, and specifically the Epistle of Peter. It comes from God's provision in our lives. It comes from our practice, and then it also comes from our perseverance. These four fertilizers, if really taken into consideration, will without fail produce growth in the life of us as believers. And it's just awesome promises, awesome things that we get to look at. We can count on growth resulting in great things here on earth and even when we get to heaven. So we need to practice these things. And kind of in summation, and something maybe just a nugget to take away from tonight, just the big idea, for lack of a better term, is satisfaction in life comes from growth in Christ. That satisfaction in life comes through growth in Christ. So, in application, even for my sake, because I really was so encouraged by this and so challenged by this, take some time tonight, take some time today to really pray about this and talk to God. How can we grow? And just ask Him, hey, God, I want growth in my life. How can you change me? Because it's one thing to talk to other people, and it's one thing to kind of just mull it over in our minds, but we have a great privilege of going straight to the throne of grace. And it's an awesome privilege of coming before God and saying, hey, I need your help. I want growth. I want to get closer to you. And the cool thing about that is that in 1 Peter 5:7, which we just missed, is that God cares for us, that we should cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. And that's just a cool idea. And a cool truth that we have in God's Word. So, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you so much for your Word, and just that you want to see us succeed and you want to see us grow. I just ask that you would just be working in our lives and just challenging us to live for you. And God, I thank you for your love for us and just how you have given us your Word. And I just ask that as we go out from tonight, that you would really just continue to be working in our lives. In your name.